Renaissance Podcast presents the Action for Happiness series, episode 13, with Leon Logothetis.
My name is Leon. I'm about to embark on an epic journey. A journey powered solely by kindness.
Can I live in your house tonight?
Unfortunately, I don't have a house. I'm homeless right now.
We spoke to him on an earlier podcast about the amazing adventures of a nobody, and he returns to talk about his Netflix special, The Kindness Diaries, and his latest book, Live, Love, Explore.
Giving sight to the poor for free, it's beyond words. We will fund 100 surgeries.
They say that giving is better than receiving, and in many ways that's true.
Well, your incredible series, The Kindness Diaries, it was released on Netflix last month. And a series that documents your amazing trip around the world on the kindness of other people. I mean, before this journey, the life that you led is a similar story to many that we hear nowadays. You know, people working a job that they don't really enjoy and not being true to themselves. So can you just talk us through how the change came about, and, you know, what was the motivation for that led to the path of The Kindness Diaries?
Yeah, sure. So I used to be a broker in London, and I was kind of, let's say, groomed to follow that path. Although I had everything I needed on the outside, I felt like I was emotionally and spiritually bankrupt on the inside. And I didn't want to live the rest of my life behind this slab of wood. And I didn't want to kind of waste my life. Not that there's anything wrong with sitting behind a desk, because there isn't. If that's your passion, then great. It just happened not to be mine. And I ended up watching the movie The Motorcycle Diaries, which is a romanticized version of Che Guevara traveling across South America relying on kindness. And there was something about that movie that just really touched my heart. I mean, I had an epiphany. There's just no doubt about that. I had an epiphany after watching that movie. And I was like, I actually don't have to live behind this desk for the rest of my life. I don't have to look back at my life when I'm 90 and think I've just wasted it all. I can do something different. And that's what sparked it. So I quit my job. It had been building. The movie didn't simply just, you know, make me quit it like that, but it had been building. And I started to travel the world relying on kindness. And I did a couple of journeys. And the latest journey that I did was the one around the world on a yellow motorbike, where I relied entirely on kindness. But this time it was a bit of a twist. And the twist was that unsuspecting Good Samaritans would receive a life-changing gift. Because kindness to me is not just about receiving, although that's important, because sometimes it's difficult to receive. It's about giving as well.
You know, that's our favorite part of the episode, you know, when, you know, one unsuspecting, you know, person that's shown you like an awesome act of kindness, you return the favor, and it, like, you never know, and we never know what that favor, what kind of shape that favor is going to take place. And, you know, in one instance, it was the offering of, you know, 100 cataract surgeries. And in one case, it was helping someone that without a home, just get back on his feet, get him into some education and sort him out some housing. So real tangible benefits that, you know, literally had us in tears throughout so many episodes. And I think for me, you know, I really love the programs where that there is that twist at the end and where someone's life is changed. And it's an absolutely amazing series.
Do you know what? One of the reasons why I put in the gifts was because many of us, myself for sure, have had many, many opportunities in life. And that I've had so many opportunities, and often I just, you know, don't really, I let them go. And there are so many people out there that have very few opportunities. Mm. And I wanted not just to give kindness to someone, I wanted to give them an opportunity. an opportunity that many of us take for granted. And once you give them that opportunity, ultimately it's up to them. If they have the wherewithal, if they have the mental capacity, if they have whatever it takes to take the opportunity, then great. And if they don't, you know, that's on them.
Yeah.
So really, it's not just about kindness. It was about giving opportunities to people that had none.
Mm-hmm. And what were you trying to find out? Or, you know, why on the kindness of other people?
You know, as a kid, I was bullied. As a kid, I felt very lost. I felt very alone. I felt very unloved. And I never understood why it was that people could be so disempowering. What would it be? What's the benefit of being disempowering to a child? Or what's the benefit of being disempowering to a young adult starting off in life? And I wanted to take all those negative things that I'd experienced, and I wanted to do my best to make them into positive things, and to look at people and to be like, I see you. You know, I truly, truly see you, because I never felt seen. So I wanted other people to feel seen. And that's a kind of another reason. It's about kindness. It's about opportunities. But it's about the simple thing of being seen by someone.
And, you know, for those that haven't watched the series yet, every day was literally a struggle to find food and accommodation, right? Because each step of your journey, even the petrol, which I was surprised to see, that had to be offered by someone, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it just, you know, reminded me of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, right at the bottom is, you know, that shelter and a place to sleep and food, you know, those basic needs. So it really kind of made me think that you spent this entire journey, like, you know, every day with those basic challenges. And we could see at some, you know, certain points how exhausted and how tired you were, just not knowing if you were going to get a place to sleep that night. You know, how was that experience?
It was very challenging. I've done other things like this. I walked across America on $5 a day. I hitchhiked from Paris to Moscow on €5 a day. So I've had some experience of it. But being rejected often is very challenging. The adrenaline is what keeps you going. And people sometimes say to me, they say, did you ever get ill on your trip? And the answer is no. But after I came back, I got sick for like 3 months. I would go to doctors and I'd say, what's wrong? There's something wrong with me. And no one could figure out what it was. But it was the adrenaline had turned off. So I was no longer working on adrenaline. It's very challenging.
The relationships that you built along that journey, you know, sometimes, you know, there was an instance where I would want a certain relationship that you had. I wanted that person to receive the gift. And then you move on, because that's how quickly we can, even in the short segment, we can build a relationship with that person just because, wow, they've let Leon into their house, or wow, they've let Leon do this, and they've, you know, helped him out in so many ways. And, you know, when someone does let you into a house, it's a very private and personal place. It's not just let me buy you food. It's like I'm taking you into, you now know where I live, but then letting you sleep in their bed as well. That was absolutely incredible.
It's amazing. But I feel like if I were to ask 10 people on the streets, 9 of them would say no. And that's perfectly understandable. They don't know who I am. They have lives, and you're not staying in my house. I get it. We're all good. But you meet that one person who you have a magical connection with.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know them very well, it's that heart connection. And yeah. Once you're at that level, you feel like you've known someone for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's all good.
Yeah.
Like, you know it. When you meet certain people, you know, the energy may not work. But then there's that one person you meet and you just feel like you're the same. Mm-hmm. And that's how that works.
And then when you go back to their house, they start showing you pictures of their childhood, and they show you, you know, different artifacts that they've collected, or and you really get to to understand that no matter who that person is, everyone has an interesting story. You know, it's just knowing where to look. And then when they bring you in, they obviously want to show you the musical instrument that they play or the gun that they have. And, you know, you really see the story behind that person. And that's what, and it's really interesting.
You see, that's what it's all about. That's that, what you've just described is you saw the people on the screen. You felt who they were. They may have been only there for a couple of minutes, but you saw who they were.
They're not actors as well. They're not paid actors. Yeah. This is genuine interactions.
Exactly. And everyone can relate. Everyone can relate to the universality of feeling connected. And everyone can also relate to the universality of not feeling connected. You know, we both have both experiences.
So what was some of the resistance and the challenges that you faced from family and friends when you made the switch in career, and I guess when you told them about the style of journeys you were going to take?
Look, you know, they thought I was not well in the head, which still hasn't been proven wrong. But but look, you know, it was, I had a nice path I was supposed to follow, and I chose not to follow that path. But after a while, they all realized that that path wasn't my path, and a new path was my path. And that's what I say to people. You know, for me, that my path was traveling. That doesn't mean that that's your path. Your path may be sitting behind a desk, you know, doing great things. That may be your path, but currently you're on a different one. So everyone has a different path, but we are all the same in our desire to fully embrace life, to fully free ourselves from conditioning, from society, to feel love, to feel heard, to feel our compassion towards ourselves and compassion towards other people, and other people showing us compassion and empathy. From that point of view, we're the same.
And why is it that we love to watch these programs of travel, like the Top Gear episodes, whenever they go abroad? You know, those are always the people's favorite. Or Carl Pilkington, you know, who travels around the world. Or, you know, Michael Palin. I remember I used to love, you know, back in the days when he would do all these, you know, the express when he went on the train and he goes around the world. But, you know, why is it that as viewers, we enjoy watching these travel shows where we get an insight into the way these people live?
Look, I think travel opens up the mind. I think travel gets us out of our comfort zone. I think travel inspires. And I think we enjoy it because it's out of the ordinary. And also, we get to see a part of ourselves. You know, we're all the same. We're all one in so many ways. Yes, we're unique. Yes, we're different. Maybe we're different religion, blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, we're the same. And when we go out and see someone who is dressed in a way that is not like the way we dress, but they react the same way that we do, it kind of opens our mind up.
But the idea of, you know, you mentioned the universality and, you know, human compassion, connectedness, you know, traveling there into their homeland, into their homes, breaking down those barriers. And for the people, I think we enjoy the travel shows. But this has got the kindness twist to it, hasn't it? It's got the compassion side, the idea that, you know, you can, around any corner of the world and around any corner of that part of the world, you could, you know, find a woman who gives you a bowl of noodle soup, who happens to know a doctor, who happens to, you know, for free, give people the gift of sight, you know, and it breaks down those, that ultimately, underneath those superficial layers, we are the same, you know.
That's exactly what it does. And I'll tell you a story. So I've never actually been to Iran, yeah? But in the West, we hear many things about how Iran is, you know, a bad place. Yet I met people along the journey who told me that the Iranian people were some of the most beautiful, kind, compassionate, and generous individuals they had ever met. And I remember when I first heard this, it was a couple of years ago, I was like, wow, okay, great. And yet the news tells you something totally different. It's just incredible. It's incredible.
So what were some of the similarities you noticed, upon returning? You know, what was, I guess, the common theme?
The common theme from what perspective? From what people want or people are?
Yeah, so even from regardless of continent, what remained true in the relationships that you created? What didn't change?
I go back to it, is the power of being seen. That when you sit there with someone and you show them compassion and you show them that you care and you show them respect and you show them dignity and you show them understanding, whichever part of the world you are in, it is a universal thing. It's a universal thing that people need and people want on an individual level, to be cared for, to be loved, to be seen, to be understood. And when, as an individual, you can give that to someone, it's a beautiful and powerful thing that too many of us don't have.
And, you know, the idea of, you know, you mentioned it earlier, that giving and I want to sort of go back to that doctor who, I suppose, you feel a sense that's your purpose. It's your purpose.
Mm.
And that it feels good, you know, the action for happiness sort of. Ideals are that it feels good to do good. And, you know, our society where, being a broker, for example, your former life, if you like, you know, just behind the desk and making enough money, yeah, mm-hmm. more than enough.
Yeah.
And that was the goal. The goal was the money. Doesn't care about, you know, long hours, whatever, but it's just money. And I suppose doing good was not really a concern or a secondary concern. It was just about me, because I suppose that is what we've been taught, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but actually, if you realize, and what I like about, you know, the show is that you gain a lot as well as giving you yourself, you know. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your sort of how good you felt from the giving, if you like, and to see the faces of the people.
It's a great question. And the reality is that I gain a tremendous amount. I gain a tremendous amount by giving back, and not just giving back on big levels. I'm talking about giving back on small levels. I gain by sharing my stories. I gain by making someone else feel that they matter. I gain by making someone feel that they're special. The show has been extraordinary, and I literally receive hundreds of messages a day, and I respond to them all. And why do I respond to them all? Because you took time out of your day to send a message to a stranger, and that means something to me. So I'm going to take time out of my day and send a message back to you. You've made me feel special, and I want you to know that you too are special. It goes back to, like, for me as a kid, I didn't feel special. And I want people to feel like they matter. I want people to feel like they are important. I want people to feel like they can shine brightly, that they can shine their own magnificence beautifully into this world. And everyone can do that. Now, what's important to say with that is I get it. If you'd said this to me, I wouldn't be able to speak to you like this 10 years ago. I wouldn't have been able to talk to you about shining brightly, about magnificence, because I was so mired in my own pain that all I could see was a hand of pain in front of my eyes. But slowly, slowly, with a lot of commitment, a lot of help, I've spent many days and, well, not days, but hours on a therapy couch, I began to open up and meeting people on the streets and staying with people's in people's houses opened up my heart. And now I see the world differently. Again, that doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. I don't want people to think that the series and my message is Pollyannish and just go out and be kind and everything will work itself out. Bad things happen. We all know that. But more often than not, the bad things we think are going to happen don't happen. And one way to make sure that kindness is the fuel that fuels you is to surround yourself with good people. Surround yourself with compassionate, empathetic people. And most importantly, be kind and gentle to yourself. That was the most important lesson I learned. Because if you're kind and gentle to someone else, but you're not kind and gentle to yourself, it's never going to overflow. It's never going to overflow, and you're never going to be able to go out there and truly live from that place. So I went off on a tangent, but that's kind of what I do.
Well, what I was going to say is that when we watch the videos, one thing that I think really helps as well is that your commitment just to go with the flow. You know, if people are doing a, you know, if they're dancing, then you'll join in the dance. You know, or if they ask you to do a challenge, then you'll join in with the challenge. It's also, that's what I really liked. It's about just dropping down your guard and just going with the flow. And we see that a lot. It's like, hey, this, you know, you come across as a guy that's up for it. You know what I think? And that, I think as a viewer and experience, that really helped with the, I guess, with that journey. It's just like, yeah, Leon's up for it. And every time it comes up, we see you taking part. And we think, yeah, I would have liked to have been that guy. If I was there, I can see myself totally having done something similar as well.
Yeah, I remember as again, go back to my childhood, I wouldn't be up for it. I would be so lost. And I've met people and I know people who are so lost and so in so much pain and can't and feel like they can't go out and live their dreams. And slowly, slowly, I started to be able to live my dreams. And if I can go out there and dance in an Indian village and just be, then so can you. You don't have to go to an Indian village. You can if you want to, but you can do it in your house. You can put the music on full blast and just start dancing. You can go out into the streets and buy people free coffees. You can do it. It's really just like I was inspired by books. I was inspired by documentaries. I was inspired by films. And I was like, hold on. If they can do it, why can't I do it? And that's really what part of what the show is about as well. If I can do it, you can do it. There's no doubt. You can do it. Maybe in a different form, but you can do whatever you feel inside your soul needs to come out and play. You can do it.
And you become more true to your real self by doing so, right?
Yes, yes, you do.
And the team that came with you on the when you went and filmed The Kindness Diaries, did they experience similar lessons as well? And were, because we do see them every now and then, you know, appear in episodes here and there, but. Yeah, tell me, what was the relationship like with them? And, you know, did they, you know, were they very much part of the experience that you felt along the way?
Look, they were obviously following me. So they obviously had to film all these experiences, but they weren't, so they had to, they got some of the magic from the journey, but they weren't, for example, really, they weren't connecting with the people like I was connecting. For example, with Tony, who's the homeless chap in episode 2, they filmed it, they connected, it was beautiful, but then they went to a hotel and I stayed on the streets with Tony. So I got that real raw experience, which they didn't get.
But then, you know, but I guess when they filmed the moments of reactions when you're offering the gifts and, you know, changing lives, I can imagine just, you know, that, and you know, just spending any time abroad with your mates and, you know, waking up together and spending the day together, there is a bonding that happens, right?
Without a shadow of a doubt. And what you see on Netflix, on The Kindness Diaries, could not have happened without them.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, I don't know how to edit. They do. I don't know how to take amazing shots. They do. Mm-hmm. I know how to connect with people. So, you know, I took my little magic, they took their little magic,
yeah.
And we made The Kindness Diary. So it's not just a Leon project.
Yeah.
And it's also the people that we met.
Yeah.
I think it's been received so well because kindness and compassion is universal.
Mm-hmm.
Either we've experienced it and it's helped us, or we haven't experienced it and it's hurt us. So when you watch the show, you get to feel both of those things.
Yeah.
One is the positivity and the negativity.
Yeah. So what's been the general reaction, you know, through your family and friends and also the media? And has that inspired next projects?
Look, the reaction has been truly unbelievable. Literally, I spend all day responding to people's messages. And people telling me how they've been inspired, how they've been touched, how their life has changed. Mm-hmm. And when I get messages from people saying, my life has changed, thank you, I always respond to them. But then I think to myself, your message to me about your life changing is exactly the same feeling I had when I watched the motorcycle drivers.
Yeah.
So I know what you're feeling. Yeah. And I know that you wouldn't send me that message if it didn't touch you viscerally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful thing, and it inspires me. It inspires me to keep going. Mm. It inspires me to just, you know, keep spreading compassion, keep spreading empathy imperfectly. I don't want people to think, oh, the Englishman is just going out into the world and pretending he's perfect and spreading kindness and everything is hunky-dory, because that's completely not the case.
Yeah.
I am as imperfect as everyone who's listening to this podcast. And I have good days, I have bad days.
Mm.
I have days when I am seemingly incapable of being kind. I have days when I'm in the car and I'm like, I get angry like everyone does.
Mm.
But my point for sharing that is it doesn't have to be a big thing.
Mm.
You can do small little things. If you have a commitment to yourself to go out into the world and share your heart as often and as profoundly as you can, and if something bad happens, you just get back on the wagon and you keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. That's what this message is. It's not about perfection.
Yeah,
absolutely out of the question. I am not perfectionist. I'm actually a bit of a perfectionist, but I'm not perfect. No one is.
Mm-hmm.
No one is. Just go out and do your best.
Yep.
That's all I want you to get from the show, is go out and do your best.
Yep. Now, in order to help people with that, your latest book...
Nice transition there.
Live, Love and Explore. It is very much... Unlike the Kindness Diaries, the difference in this book is that there is a lot of space in which the reader can fill in their own thoughts and their own suggestions and their own ideas. And it acts as like a, I don't want to call it like a self-help guide, but it makes for a fun exercise along the read, you know, where it says, you know, what are your big ideas? What are your big dreams? And it's like, okay, well, let's take a moment to think about that right now. So it's what I like about the difference between the last one, was it The Journey of a Nobody and The Kindness Diaries? With this one, it's actually more, all right, now let's get a bit more practical. You know, we've heard the stories, we felt that the magic, we've experienced that. But now let's find a practical route in which to start, you know, planning the rest of our lives. You know, they said the unexamined life is not worth living. So let's sit down now. And as we're going through the book, you know, you do a great job at like really selecting amazing quotes. You know, in the short clips that you had on YouTube before, the little quote at the end, you know, really inspiring. But, you know, this book allows the reader to participate throughout the book. And that's really where that proactive side, right? Let's take these nice ideas and now let's do something about them.
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing up Live, Love, Explore. But basically for me, it's about opportunities.
Yeah.
I've had the opportunities to travel the world. I've had the opportunities to be inspired by people in India, by wealthy people, by poor people, by all different colors of people, by different ages, different countries. And I've learned some beautiful lessons. And I felt to myself, I was like, look, I have all this wisdom which has been given to me. It's time that I share it with people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what Live, Love, Explore is about. It's about finding the life you were meant to live. It's about finding the courage to go out and live as beautifully as you can, and not from the perspective of a preacher, because I ain't no preacher. I am just someone who has happened to have had opportunities in life, has taken as many as he can, and has this knowledge through traveling. And I want to share it with you. And if you like the book, beautiful. If it touches your heart, beautiful. If you read it and then you're inspired to quit your job and travel the world, beautiful. If you hate the book, that's okay as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all good. Just go out and it, however you get to the place of living your purpose and living your magic is not relevant. What's relevant is getting there.
Yeah. Are you actually Scottish, or was that just all an accent and an act?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? There was like at least two episodes where you whenever you meet a Scottish guy, you go deep into your Scottish accent, and you're not Scottish, no?
I'm not Scottish.
Okay.
I wish I was, but I'm not. I was related to William Wallace. I used to live in
William
the Highlands.
William Wallace, okay.
No, I'm not Scottish. For some reason, I
you
speak
managed
Scottish
to do a good
sometimes.
Scottish accent. I just wanted to talk about, I mean, it's amazing, you know, that in itself, the power of movies. Now, back to that Motorcycle Diaries. I've seen that movie, by the way, fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, Che Guevara's sort of younger years traveling, you know, when he was a doctor, right? Che Guevara.
Also on The Kindness of People, right? Yeah.
But, you know, that one movie was the turning point. Am I right?
Absolutely.
And to me, that, I mean, your personal journey, but the power of movies. So this is sort of going off, you know, the Kindness Diaries topic, Leon. We're talking about in general,
yeah,
how one single movie, and we've had that, because I love movies. I'm a big movie fan myself.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a powerful form for, you know, I work in education, for education.
Yeah.
And in a sense, you know, this is a life education, right?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be restricted to the formal education of the classroom.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever form it takes, you know, that it can inspire someone to quit his job,
mm-hmm.
travel around the world,
mm-hmm.
document it, which has then gone on to inspire others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a daily basis, they're emailing you and, you know, they're inspired by your work. You know, the knock-on effect.
Yeah.
I just, you know, wanted to talk a little bit about just how powerful movies can be, you know, how that can touch us so deeply. Clearly, that one and a half hour experience has changed the course of Leon's life.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing that you can achieve in movie making.
You know, talking about movies, there's another movie that if your listeners want to check out is Into the Wild. There is a movie where someone, I'm not going to give away the plot, I'm sure many of you have watched it, but if you haven't watched it, where someone goes out and fully embraces life and fully embraces his fears and fully follows his courage. And it's just, I remember crying when watching that movie because it spoke so deeply to me. And other people I've talked about with Into the Wild and with The Kindness Diaries, it just opens up our hearts. I think we're too much in our minds. And sometimes when we watch a movie, it bypasses our mind and settles more into our hearts. And that's why you probably were inspired by the movies you watch, and your listeners are probably inspired by the movies they watch. We're not watching them from our minds.
Well, a question that you ask in the book, Leon, which we'll end on, is, you know, what is your big dream?
Are you asking me that question?
I am indeed.
You like putting me on the spot. You know, big dreams, they change. If you'd asked me what my big dream when I was in my 20s, it would be to travel the world, to connect with people. If you ask me what my big dream now is, it's, you know, it's to inspire people to believe. It's to inspire people through my travels that anything that they feel passionate about, if they put the commitment and the heart and the joy into it, it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my professional commitment. That's my professional dream.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it helps me, my job is my life. It's the same thing.
Mm.
On a personal level, you know, I'd like to meet a lady. And I'd like to have some kids. And I'd like Liverpool to win the Premier League.
I don't know about miracles. We're talking about dreams here, not miracles.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Ever since Stephen Gerrard slipped, my life has fallen apart.
Yes. Well, so if people want to get in touch with you, Leon, and find out a bit more, apart from, you know, Kindness Diaries on Netflix, how can they do that?
They can find me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. They can go to my site, which is leonlogothetis.com. And I do my very, very best to respond to absolutely everyone.
Yeah.
I will tell you that someone once asked me to pay their mortgage for $250,000, which obviously I can't do. So if you ask me to pay your mortgage, the chances are I won't respond. But apart from that, it's all good.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll see you later in the year face to face if you can, you know, when you make it to London. But, you know, we really appreciate this idea of being the change in the world that you want to see. You know, it's a theme with our guests. You know, we absolutely love the work that you're doing. And, you know, again, very honored to have you here on the podcast. So thank you.
Thanks, man. Thanks both of you for having me.
Visit the actionforhappiness.org website to access the full podcast list and also to find out about our upcoming events. We would also love for you to check out the Exploring What Matters course. Whether you would like to attend or even host the course, no previous experience required, check out the site to find out more and to apply. Anne and I hosted this last year and it was such a great positive experience. This is being rolled out all over the globe and we would love for you to be a part of it.